whenever I present a lesson on the Beatitudes, and especially when we get to the Beatitude that says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be known as the children of God," I like to point out the similarity, at least of sound, and also the similarity of those words, peacemaker and peacebreaker. They are diametrically opposed. They are polar opposites. A peacemaker is what will receive blessing, not a peacebreaker. Well, tonight we find two more words that I would like to use. They also sound almost alike, but they also are diametrically opposed. They are polar opposites, and that is a encourager and a discourager. Now, brethren, if I ask for a show of hands, which I am not going to do, all of us would agree that God wants us to be encouragers. In fact, even lesser than that, I think all of us agree that we would like to be encouragers. I'm sure there is someone in your life, maybe and hopefully more than one, who is an encourager. That person is a delight to be around. We always have good times. We always begin with a smile and end with a smile. We all wish we could be that way. Well, the point is, God wants us to be that way. He wants us to be encouragers. Now, let's think just of our congregation. We need encouragement. I don't think any congregation in the Lord's body would not need encouragement. We certainly do need encouragement. I listed a few things. You know, I can remember when years ago, we would have maybe 10 or 15 or 20 visitors every Sunday morning. And now if we get two or three, we feel very fortunate. And that's why we get a chance to storm them and show them our affection for them. But at one time, we had an awful lot of visitors. Also, we've been looking for Port Lavaca to grow for a number of years now. We've been promised growth, but we haven't received any growth. So no one is moving into the community per se. And worse than that, so many of our members in the last couple of years have moved away because of their jobs. Our building is starting to show its age. I love the way now our singing sounds in here with the ceiling fixed the way we want to. But our building is showing its age, and our membership is showing its age also. So we need to be encouragers. We need to build each other up. So let's think about being encouragers tonight. Let's begin by defining the word. On my particular webpage, if you just write in a word, I don't know why I'm pretending to type up here, but if you just write in a word, it will give you a definition. I usually agree with them, and I do in this particular case. I typed in encourager. This is what my online dictionary said. One who encourages another. Well, that's very obvious. It continued, or one who gives support to others. And then it even listed some synonyms. Synonyms are different words but that have the same meaning. To encourage means to uplift, to inspire, to hearten. And I found even another definition that said, one who brings cheer and gives hope to others. I like that. One who brings cheer and gives hope to others. Now let's see what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Encourage one another and build one another up. I think that says it all. Encourage one another and build one another up. The King James translation actually uses the word comfort, and I like that as well. Comfort one another and build each other up. We're familiar with Hebrews 10:25 when we're talking about our church attendance. It begins by saying, let us encourage one another or exhort one another. In fact, if you're reading the King James, probably also the New King James, you're going to find the word exhort more often than you find any other word. Now, brethren, let's be perfectly honest with ourselves. Although God has commanded us to be encouragers, although all of us, I think, would agree we want to be encouragers, I also think all of us agree it's good to be around people that are encouragers. I think we also have to agree that human nature is not to be an encourager, but to be a discourager. If you don't believe that, you've not watched the news, or read the newspaper, or read your web page on the internet. Our world seems overly concerned with finding negative things to talk about, finding things to pick on, finding things to criticize other people about, even if they have to create it in their own mind. It seems that everyone has a problem with everyone else. And that is very, very discouraging. Brethren, it would be easy for you and I to sit up here and just pick everybody apart, pointing out their weaknesses. That seems to be human nature. But brethren, now listen to what I say. We're not human nature. We're Christians. Christians are not discouragers. We don't do things that discourage. We do things that encourage, that build up, build each other up, build up the body of Jesus Christ. We need to be that. You know, quite often when Jesus was in his ministry, someone would do something and he would talk about their faith and he would say, well, for instance, I've never seen such a great faith even among all the Israelites. He gave that person a compliment. Or sometimes he would talk about something and he would give others a compliment. Brethren, that's what we need to do. We need to look for opportunity to compliment. Again, it's human nature to tear down and not to build up. But we're not of human nature. We're of the nature of Jesus Christ. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, that you love one another. The first and great commandment is to love. A new commandment Jesus gave, and that is to love. However, and this is a big however, sometimes it's hard to do. Sometimes it's hard to not buy into the world and allow the world to influence us. But we have to follow Jesus. Okay, our first question tonight. Why should we be an encourager? Well, first of all, it's a benefit to us. It makes us feel better. But second, it might be a life changer to someone else. Now stay with me. We're going to begin in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas are about to go out on their first great missionary journey. They are selecting, no doubt, men to go with them. In fact, others helped them choose those men. Among the men that they decided to take with them on that first missionary journey was one of Barnabas's kinfolks named Mark. We know him also as John Mark. John Mark was selected to go on this great missionary journey. Now, we're not given a great deal of information about John Mark, but he must have been an enthusiastic worker, or he never would have been invited to go. So here is this young, enthusiastic worker going on a missionary journey into the Gentile community where the church had never gone before. How exciting does that sound? Well, something happened. Some people think that John Mark might have become physically ill. I don't believe that's the case, and I'll explain that in a moment. I think the traditional view is John Mark, in his youth, just became homesick. He's out in the Gentile world associating with cultures he was completely unfamiliar with. He's away from his family. He's away from his friends. I think he just got homesick. But for some reason, he went back. And we skip a couple of chapters. Now we're in Acts chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas are about to go on their next missionary journey. They begin to consider individuals to go with them on this missionary journey. Barnabas naturally mentions his kinfolk, John Mark. Well, the reason I don't think in the first missionary journey John Mark got physically sick, because if that had been the case, Paul would have just said, yes, let's use John Mark again. But Paul said no. Paul said no. He didn't want to take John Mark this time. And it became such a divisive issue that Barnabas went one way and Paul went another way. Now, I believe that's the providence of God. They covered twice as much territory as they would have otherwise. But Barnabas takes John Mark and others. Paul takes Silas and others, and they go their separate ways. Now, can you begin to imagine how devastating it was when John Mark was told, Paul does not want you to go? Knowing Paul even to the degree that we do, don't you know he was a man that all Christians looked up to? I'm sure John Mark looked up to Paul, but for some reason, Paul decided John Mark was not to go. How discouraging would that have been? I can imagine if John Mark would have had a very fragile ego, he might have completely stopped working for the Lord altogether. But his kinfolk, Barnabas, son of consolation or son of encouragement, encouraged John Mark to continue the work. He lifted John Mark up. He helped him in that time of discouragement. He gave him another chance. And brethren, that's also very, very encouraging. And incidentally, Paul also made up with John Mark. And when Paul was facing the end of his life, he said, and I'm going to paraphrase for emphasis, send John Mark to me. He's an encouragement to me. So brethren, they could have lost John Mark's effectiveness. Oh, incidentally, did I tell you? John Mark is the mark that God used to pen the great epistle of Mark. You know, every time we encourage someone to, we might change their lives for the better. I remember being in a congregation one time, and there was a young man that no one knew. He started coming to church. He didn't have a car. He didn't have a ride. He lived out of town, so he had to borrow rides from people. He had a speech impediment. And because of that, maybe he had not been around people nearly as much as other people had been around. But the congregation encouraged him. And he started participating. He led prayers. He became an encouragement to the congregation. His name is Aaron Recker. Brethren, imagine if this congregation would not have been an encouragement to him. We might have lost him. We can say the same thing about Thomas, who's ill tonight. We encouraged Thomas. We saw Thomas baptized. And I believe with all my heart he will remain faithful for the rest of his life. What if we had not gone out of our way to be an encourager to those two young men? We might have lost them both and probably would have. Now let's get into our second point. How do we be an encourager? Well, first of all, we look for the best in people. You know, I remember someone saying one time, I don't remember who it was, but they said, if we look for the best in people, that's what we're going to find. We're going to find their best. And the opposite is also true. If we look for the worst, we're going to find the worst. Brethren, no one is perfect. We all have our weaknesses. But that doesn't mean we should go around just picking each other to death. We need to encourage each other. We need to find times to enjoy each other's company and to build each other up. And if we don't, we're going to become so sad that nobody's going to want to be around us either. So we need to focus on each other's good points. There was an old man living in a town one time. He happened to be a member of the church. I don't know if that really enhances the story or not. He was known for never saying anything negative about anyone. It didn't matter who it was. He just wouldn't say anything negative about anyone. Well, there was a dog in that town. It was a vicious dog. He had bit several people. He would growl at them. Just a mean, mean, mean dog. Well, finally that dog died. And some of the people had got together talking about how glad they were that that dog died. And somebody remembered, I don't know what I'm doing to pop that microphone, and I apologize. Someone said, let's go see what that old man says about that dog. He's never said anything negative about anyone or anything. And so they go and they begin to talk to him, and they say, oh, did you hear that dog died? And he said, yes, I did hear that that dog died. They said, what do you think about that dog? He said, that dog had pretty teeth, didn't he? You know, if we're looking hard enough, brethren, We're going to find pretty teeth in anyone. We just need to put our heart into it. We need to look for opportunities to be encouragers, opportunities to do good. I really had some more generic thoughts in here. I want to be more specific. I can't begin to tell you how proud as a congregation we are of Justin. Led a prayer tonight. Led a beautiful, beautiful prayer tonight. I hope I don't jinx him now the next time he does that. He's come so far. Barry's around the corner. Maybe he's hearing me. Maybe he's not. Did a superior job. Yeah, there he is. Did a wonderful job in his song leading this morning. I told him, I said, you worked on that, didn't you? And he admitted that he did. When we see that, we need to show our appreciation to those people. I'm glad that Margaret's out with Darwin tonight, but you can tell her anyway, Francis. Have you noticed what a beautiful Sunday sheet we have? And if you're on the internet, what a beautiful bulletin we get. Nancy was doing the Sunday sheet. Margaret now is doing both of them. Let's just acknowledge to her how much we appreciate all that she's doing for us. It makes us feel better, and it makes them feel better as well. If your student comes home with a wonderful, exciting vacation Bible school story or a regular Bible class story, praise that student, praise the teacher. Let them know how much you appreciate all that they've done. Rather than this congregation, for as long as there's been a congregation, has had a superior teaching staff, and we do now. And in VBS, we have a beautiful, wonderful staff of teachers. We need to be encouraged about that. We just need to be encouraged about everything. God is our Father, and Jesus is our brother, and heaven is prepared for us. Jesus died to secure our sins. We need to be encouraged about that. So again, if I ask for a show of hands, all of us want to be encouragers. All of us realize it's good to be around encouragers. Let's just do that. Let's practice the golden rule. How we want others to treat us, let's treat them that way even before they treat us that way. That's really what Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 22. Love each other. And he said a new commandment later, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love each other to the degree I love you. That is what encouragement is all about. And I hope this lesson tonight has been an encouragement to you. I did not mention first principles at all in the lesson, but I think everyone here, having reached a degree of maturity, I think they've already been baptized. But if there is someone that needs to be baptized tonight, or for some other reason needs to, Tommy has announced the number. We'll get him to go ahead and come forward. If you need to respond,